Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, two guys who came together for one common purpose, to think deeply about sport and faith. They are sports scholars, they're coaches, and they're competitive athletes, or at least they were. And together, they've created Sport Faith Life, a conversation that meets at the intersection of sport and faith.
Today on Sport Faith Life, we speak with Kristen Sheehan. Kristen is the program director and has been for many years for Play Like a Champion Today, a youth sport organization that trains coaches and provides sport opportunities primarily for kids who can't afford the pay-to-play culture of youth sports in the U.S. Kristen is inspired by her Catholic faith. She is a Notre Dame grad, a former gymnast, and was a football cheerleader for the last Notre Dame National Championship in 1988. We can't wait to talk with Kristen again and figure out what's happening with Play Like a Champion today. So let's get started.
Well, we're so excited to have a repeat guest with us today, Kristen Sheehan. Kristen, tell us a little bit about sport in your life.
Sport in my life. I mean, this is a place of joy. Right? When we think about sport, you just think about running and leaping and just pure joy. It's a place where you can be you and play before God. So I grew up as I'm very short in stature. So I tried lots of different sports, but gymnastics was the one that stuck for me. You use your body type sometimes to lead you to what works best for you. And I was a swimmer. My whole family were swimmers, and I was on the swim team, and I was an 8 and under swimming. And I did okay until I got to the 9 to 10 year old, and I was so small, and there's some really big 9-year-olds. And I was just getting creamed. And so I walked up to my coach and I said, "Coach, I'm going to do gymnastics." And the coach says to me, "Yes, you should do gymnastics, Kristen. Good luck." And so I was a gymnast from that point forward. And then as I got to college, I used my gymnastics to become a member of the Notre Dame cheer team. And I was on the cheerleading team when we won our last national championship. Now, that's something we want to change, and we're hoping to change soon to win another national championship. But in 1988, when Notre Dame football won their national championship, I was on that team. And so beautiful that I still stay in touch with my whole team. We have a text called the 88 Squad. And in fact, I just got a text a couple days ago. One of our team members is in distress and was looking for prayers. And we're all praying for him and lifting him up and rallying around him. So that's the value of sport, is in the communal experience where it's bigger than you. You're part of a team, and that's where God is.
Oh, thanks for sharing that, Kristen. Tell us a little bit about faith in your life.
So a cradle Catholic, born and raised as a Catholic. My parents were very, very faithful, always reminding us to turn to God, lift everything up to God. And I would be nowhere without my faith. Nowhere. I rely on my faith. And something that I've really turned to recently is God in my breath. So God gives us our first breath of life when we're born. And then in every breath we take, there's God's presence. And I think about it almost like the Holy Spirit. So when I breathe in, think, "Thank you, God, for this breath." And I exhale any challenge or any anxiety, any difficulty, any fear I'm having. And I breathe back in God's grace. And you can exhale any difficulty, any challenge, any anxiety you're having. And breathe in God's grace and peace and calm. And so that's every breath we take, God is with us. And that's where I've been lately.
Well, that's beautiful, Kristen. And I thank you so much for, you know, kind of setting the tone in both of your answers to sort of bring sport and faith together. I wanted to just give you an opportunity. Being a cheerleader on a national championship team, what a great opportunity. And you're right, when you think about teams holding together, teams do that all the time. But I think adding a championship sort of holds the bond just a little bit longer, without a doubt. So really exciting. And maybe there'll be another Notre Dame team fairly soon that does the same thing, which will be really exciting. But for right now, it's you, 1988 and going. So that's wonderful. Can you tell us one thing about yourself, maybe apart from everything you've said so far, that helps us get to know the real Kristen? Not as if the other stuff wasn't, of course.
Gosh, I would love for people to just tap into pure joy, because we are alive because God gave us our existence. God gave us our life. And I just want to be a place, I just would like to be a place of purpose, of connection, and joy. Joy in existence would be what I would hope for.
Yeah, that's really, and I know you're doing that in your daily work as well, and you're bringing joy and spreading joy in lots of different places. It's really interesting and quite a unique model to talk a little bit about Play Like a Champion and the work that you've done up to this point and the work that is going to happen going forward. And I just wonder if you could give us a little sense of Play Like a Champion and let our audience understand what that is.
Yes. So Play Like a Champion came to be in 2006 when a professor at Notre Dame was coaching his kids at a local grade school. And it was a Holy Cross grade school. And he noticed behaviors that were surprising to him. He had a fifth grade girls basketball coach who had 15 girls on the bench, and he played five girls the entire game, never substituted. He thought, what is going on here? You know, this is not the NBA. These are 10-year-olds. And then he actually had to break up a fight in the stands between two parents that season as well. So he thought, gosh, I'm a professor. So what do? I research. Let's do a research study and let's see if this is just my church or is this something that's happening across the country. So he did a research study. He published it. It was called Youth Sport Behavior. And the subtitle was The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. And it detailed that we think sports builds character and we know it does, yet there is no evidence or research that shows it builds good character because it depends on the environment. And so when kids are watching the adults in that environment, they're gaining character. And in some cases, that could be learning poor lessons or poor character, depending on what's modeled. So Clark Power, who's the professor I work with, he said, well, I'm an educator. I believe in the value of education to change hearts and lives. And so let's create an educational program that will really work to help the good character to be built through sport. And so that's what gave rise to Play Like a Champion. And we follow the mantra, play like a champion, play. It starts with play. Sports are games. They're meant to be fun and joyful. And sometimes adults can drain that joy out of the game. And so we remind coaches and parents, have fun with this experience. Make sure the kids are excited to come to the gym, excited to play with their peers. And then if we're going to play, we may as well play like a champion. Well, what is a champion? In our world, we often think of the person who's holding the trophy, the team that wins. Yes, that is the example or the definition of a champion. But how do we go beyond that? How do we create champions that are better people rather than just the ones who are holding the trophy? And so we talk about what are the qualities, what are the characteristics, what are the virtues that equal a champion? And how do we build those in to our athletes intentionally? It just doesn't happen by happenstance, but we want to do it intentionally. And then in recent years, we've added some neuroscience research because we know that people experience trauma in their lives. And when we experience trauma, it impacts the brain, it presses on the brain, and then it corresponds in our behaviors. And so we help coaches to be trauma-informed in their coaching. So we help them to understand techniques that will help young athletes manage previous traumas and not act in a way that is adverse to good behavior, but to manage their behaviors and to buffer from previous traumas and build their resilience in the sport experience. And then we always conclude with coaches with a section on how to work in tandem with parents. Parents are our partners. They're the first educators of their children. And so how do we, of course, they want their children to succeed. And so parents are not the enemy. Some coaches say, oh, stay away from me, parents. We don't want to do that because we're all working together for the good of the children. So how do we work in partnership with parents? And then I just want to make one more comment. So we say play like a champion, and that's a really good mantra, but we don't stop there. We say play like a champion today. And the today is the spiritual element of what we do. So the ancient Greeks had two words for time. One was chronos, which is chronological time. We can watch the minutes on the clock pass. We can watch the days in a sports season progress. That's chronological time. But the ancient Greeks had another word for time, and that was kairos. And kairos is a moment where God is present, a moment that God works. And that's the today element in our mantra, play like a champion today. There are moments in sport that stand still. These are God moments. It could be an incredible physical opportunity or beautiful moment of physical positive results. Often, though, these are moments of great sportsmanship, moments when teams come together in either triumph or victory or in defeat, and they come together and they support each other, and God is present in those moments, and that's what we call play like a champion today. The today moments are moments of God's grace in sport, and these are moments that we latch onto, we remember, we celebrate, and that helps us become more human and closer to God.
Yeah, these are the moments that keep us coming back, right? Appreciate how you shared that. So I didn't realize the origins of play like a champion today. Really cool to hear that. You and Clark have built quite an entity, and it's been fun for us to be able to follow alongside all that you're doing. You shared the theoretical background. What about the practical? What about all the programming? Share with us a little bit about what you all are doing day to day, year to year, who you're working with in order to try to implement these positive changes in youth sport.
Thanks for that, Chad. So yes, what do? We since 2006, we have trained. So we do training. We train coaches and we train sport parents. And we do have some programming for athletes, servant leadership trainings, captain's leadership development. But the core of what we do is coach training and sport parent training. And so since 2006, we have trained over 180,000 coaches and parents all across our country. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary of our conference. We have a conference every June, which serves as an opportunity for our partners. And our partners are those programs and those schools that train their coaches and their parents. We come together at the University of Notre Dame, and we have a yearly event. We just had our 20th conference. Very exciting. We rallied around the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. So it's a 3-day event, and our first day was centered on faith, belief in Jesus Christ. Our second day was hope. We anticipate and look forward to bringing forth the kingdom of God. That's hope. And then the third day was love. And love is an action word. What will we do in our hearts? What filled us up in our hearts to go forth in our own communities as we send people back to their home to act in love to serve the children in their communities? So that was our conference. I'm sorry, I got waylaid a little bit there. What do? We do coach education and parent education. So we have a coach clinic for youth and high school coaches. We have a parent workshop that works as a companion curriculum to the coach clinic so that all entities are working together to uplift the youth, the children, the athletes who are playing. And we work to build up the adults in the sport environment so that they are providing positive examples and are intentional about character development and faith and acknowledging God's presence and God's existence in the sport experience, so that kids can grow closer to God through their sport.
Well, Kristen, the scale of this is pretty astounding. 180,000 coaches and 20 years of just remarkable consistency and service. And so I wonder if in there are thousands of stories. And this is going to be unfair, but I want to know if you could pull out one or two that help you sort of articulate what this sort of change has implemented, like what your coaching seminars and curriculum, maybe how it impacted a particular place or person. And then maybe just think about, okay, what have you learned across 20 years? I mean, you've been at this a while. What have you learned? And maybe how have you made some modifications to, you know, sort of the program or the way you're doing things? I know it's a couple of different questions, and take it in any direction that makes sense to you.
Let me start with your final question there. What have we done to modify what we started? So we started with an educational series to uplift the culture of sport so that kids were enjoying the experience and getting true character formation and faith development through sport. And that's good. We know from our research that kids who have a play like a champion trained coach are happier, they're healthier in sport, and they stay in the experience longer. And our goal really for young children should be physical literacy, right? So often we think, oh gosh, and especially now with NIL and all of this, oh, I want my child to be famous. I'm going to earn millions of dollars. And that's so rare. Our goal should not be that. Our goal should be physical literacy. And physical literacy definition is the confidence, the ability, and the knowledge to engage in physical activity for one's whole life. Not just when children are little playing on a team, but our whole life. You know, I can run up the street and stay healthy today, and that's going to make me happier and healthier. It's going to make our society happier and healthier. And so we know we are succeeding in that with our education. But one of the things that we found as we progressed in our education was that our society has monetized children's play. So it's a $40 billion industry, right, that we are making off children's play. And so it's a pay-to-play culture now. So that families who have the means to sign their children up for specialized sports, for travel teams, they're paying maybe thousands of dollars for a 10-year-old every year. And then what happens in that situation is then recreational leagues that are free or very low cost dry up in our cities, particularly in our inner cities. And so Clark and I could not ignore that pay-to-play culture and the injustice of that, that some children are flying at 10 years old to play a game and with their families, and other children are just sitting at home without a team. And so we started, where do we pivot? We said, we can't allow this to happen. And so how can we as an organization raise awareness of this and up and create opportunities for children from lower income communities or children who maybe aren't as athletically gifted, because sport isn't just for those who are talented, it's for all. Sport for all is what we say. How do we raise opportunities for all children to play? And so we started what we call a team for every child. And a team for every child means it's a child's right to play. Every child should have the opportunity to run, to hit a ball, to throw a ball, and have a team to call their own, a community, and then a caring coach mentor who they can trust, who they can go to. You know, maybe their family is not able to support them or lift them up. There's a lot of stress in our families today. But if they go to a practice and they have a coach who cares for them, that's a trusted adult who can change their lives. And so we started in North Lawndale, which is a neighborhood on the west side of Chicago, and we did a needs assessment in that community. A needs assessment is, you know, what's available in this community and where do we need to grow opportunities to support children? So we had two Notre Dame students live in North Lawndale for the summer. And it's personal because one of them was my son Jack. And he did an internship. You know, we love these college students. You have these unpaid internships. I have a wonderful intern this summer for Play Like a Champion. And we don't have the means to pay them, but they're amazing kids. And my son Jack did live in North Lawndale, and he traveled around to all of those who provided sports in the community of North Lawndale, and he interviewed them, he talked with them, he walked with them in their spaces. What do you provide? What do you need that you are trying to access that is a challenge for you? And so we did this needs assessment. At the end, what we discovered in North Lawndale, and I believe in communities maybe all over the country, is there are beautiful people serving the youth, pouring their hearts out, doing all they can to help save these kids' lives. And they were challenged in the sense of resources. You know, I'm doing what I'm doing, but I need funds. I need gym space. I need people power. And so we found that all of these organizations were sort of living in a silo. So I'm doing what I'm doing and it's good, but I'm not connecting with others. So we said, let's bring everyone together into an association. So we brought the basketball program, the football program, the dance program into an association. So we have an umbrella organization. And we say, it's pretty simple, but we're stronger together. So we're not in a silo anymore, but we have an association. So we called it the North Lawndale Athletic and Recreation Association. And then we start keeping data. Your professors, you know about the value of data and research. And so we started counting the numbers and telling the stories, like you said, Brian. I'm going to get to the stories soon. And so as we count the numbers, it's not just the 100 kids I serve on a basketball program, but it's the thousands of children in this community in North Lawndale that we're all collectively serving. And so we create these collective numbers and we share the stories, and then we have power in that and we can gain resources. And so the association has been able to gain grants that we then distribute equally to all of the members of the organizations to give them more resources to do what they do. And then, just like in the early church, they start to share resources. Okay, so I have a gym in my church, and I'm using it these hours of the day. But I have some time that's down. And so can I open it up to my partner organization here to come in and share my space? So it's the shared resources. And so we started in North Lawndale with that association. We have a second site called the Michiana Athletic and Recreation Association, and that's in South Bend, Indiana. And we work with over 100 organizations that are forward-facing with youth, coming together to serve the youth in that space of joy, creating more opportunity to play. So here's where I'm going to get into a story. You asked for a story. In South Bend, We have our Sylvan Community School Corporation, and there were no sports offered in elementary schools. And so we worked together with our school corporation and our parks department and Play Like a Champion, and we created a position to have an athletic director for our local elementary schools. And we were able to, the three of us, pool our resources and hire an amazing young man, Yannick McDowell, as our athletic director for elementary schools. And this was the first year we created that position. As a result, over all of our elementary schools, we have created 6 sports over the year, which has led to 3,000 children getting to play sports in their school. And the value in this is that transportation is a barrier for many families. So when children go home from school, it's often very difficult to transport children to a sport experience. So these children, they go to school, they have a snack, and they play after school. And so we've eliminated that barrier, and 3,000 kids have played. And so that's a story, but I'm going to share a specific story about a young boy named Santos, who has some developmental challenges. And he was watching kids play after school on a futsal team. And he went up to Yannick and he said, "Mr. McDowell, I want to play, but I don't know if I'm able." And he said, Mr. Yannick says, "Yes, you are welcome." And his mother was afraid, nervous to let him play because of his developmental challenges. And Yannick said, "I'll take care of him for you. I'll take care of it." And so brought him on that team. And I know I can't share a picture, but I have a picture of Santos on that team with a giant smile. He found a place of belonging and he found friendship. And he had a coach in Yannick who cared about him and said, "You belong here." So it changes lives.
Your passion is definitely coming through, especially with some of these specific stories, right? You talk about the aggregate, the big numbers, but then there's the individuals within the aggregate, those stories that are so powerful and really help to augment some of the data that you all have collected, which is wonderful. I'm curious about the next directions for Play Like a Champion today. What do you all have on the schedule for the next year or two, 5 years?
Oh, thank you for asking that, because we're starting our 20th year. We had our 20th anniversary of our conference, and so this launches our 20th year, and we are celebrating all year long. We're going to be posting stories on our website and in our social sites about the change that sport can make for coaches, for the youth, for the athletes, for families. So we will be celebrating this year. And we want to ensure that we can keep going for another 20 years. And especially with our work in the neighborhoods and the inner city work. So we have our two sites, North Lawndale and South Bend, our association work. We've been building this model also in Philadelphia. We're working with some inner city sport programs there. Also in Indianapolis, we've been working with some programs in that area and in Los Angeles. And so what we envision and what we dream and what we plan to do is build out our association work, a team for every child, so that we know we have the model. We know that we've increased opportunities for kids to play in North Lawndale and in South Bend. And so let's take this model to other cities as well.
You know, Kristen, you just have to check your phone every day, and sport is all over the place, right? And we see it particularly at the highest levels. There's just so much hype and interest in sport. But I can't think of anything in sport that anyone's doing that is more important than what you're doing. So just thank you for doing that. A team for every child is exactly the kind of sport justice that's needed. And I just just want to thank you for the good work and the discipline to stay focused on that work through the 20 years. And so I just want to keep encouraging you to do that. If folks are listening to this and they want to hear more about Play Like a Champion, where do we find out about this? I mean, you've talked about the different cities it's gone to, but maybe people are sitting in a city where they're like, I I want to get this going here.
So our website is playlikeachampion.org. We do have social sites, which you can just connect right through the website, Facebook, Twitter, I guess it's X now, and Instagram. And so we're pretty vocal on those sites as well. But playlikeachampion.org is the best way to find all of that information. We also answer our emails. Information@playlikeachampion.org would be a really good email, because that's easier than spelling my name out and giving my email. Information@playlikeachampion.org.
Kristen, thanks so much for being on Sport Faith Life with us today. We are really excited to see you at the next Global Congress on Sport and Christianity. We are inside a month for when that's going to happen, so we're really excited to have you on the show with us, kind of previewing the kind of conversations that'll be happening at that conference. And so thanks so much for being with us, and we can't wait to talk to you again in a few more years.
Thank you so much. Such a joy being with you, gentlemen.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sport Faith Life podcast, a conversation at the intersection of sport and faith. Read the corresponding blog post and learn more about us at sportfaithlife.com. Listen to more of our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media to stay up to date with everything Sport Faith Life.